Jellyfish could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt. With a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this will be a memorable day. This will be a memorable Memorial Day. Shooting to you live outside in a bunker outside the cornfields east of Columbus, Ohio. Coach Dave live. Roger Weaver, the blood-sucking attorney, came joined us this morning. Pastor Tom Gill, the pastor of Payne, standing back over here on the side. They suggested that we start offering these seats for $5,000 a morning. I just don't know how many will be able to do it. I called Ed McMahon and Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's who we got joining us here. Roger, you're allowed to speak, but you have to speak loud because my microphone's hidden right here. And we're after it today. I'm looking up. I can't believe that 20 of you would get up and join the queue. 21, 22 actually joined the queue here today. We got headphones in, we got cell phones running, we got a lot of technology flowing down through here. And welcome. Crazy. I had a great weekend yesterday. We went to my daughter lives up the hill. They're at Ogle Bay Park. You've probably never heard of Ogle Bay Park down in Wheeling, West Virginia. You want to see something beautiful. Get down in those hills of West Virginia where the farther south you go, the less teeth that you have. And that's we were in Wheeling yesterday. Played a little bit of golf yesterday afternoon. Stayed up. I'm not at the top of my game because I stayed up last night to watch the Cavaliers. That's not true. I actually went to bed. And our son, Zach, he went and played golf with me. So he thought, well, I'll hang around here and watch the game. And so I'm in bed like I'm supposed to be in bed, trying to, you know, be ready and primed, ready to go in the morning for the show. And the TV is on. I keep hearing, bang, three, Kyle Korver with a three. And so I laid there for about 5 minutes and tried to go back to sleep and decided to get up and watch it. So I got up and watched it, and pretty intense the way it finished. The Cavaliers won, but then, of course, you got to watch the Sports Center, the evaluation afterwards, the commentary and all that stuff. So I'm a little bit loony here this morning. So it's good to have a couple guests. Go ahead and say something, Roger. So I know you got
rolling. It's a pleasure to be here. Glad to see all you men on the huddle. We're here just to encourage Dave and take over the show.
And hopefully he's going to take me out to breakfast after. He didn't say that, but I would assume that they pulled out the convertible. Didn't you come in?
I didn't make any money this week, so I don't know if breakfast is on the table.
Yeah, we got a credit card, though. We can get a credit card working. Then, Pastor Todd, are you working out today?
Yeah.
So, Pastor, are you working group out today? So, Pastor Tom's only got till about 9 o'clock, and he's got to get back because he's got some people coming in for training. Memorial Day. We've got 20. Jared, I just sent some more trying to jump in here, so let's make sure we get as many in here as we can. Chat's up and running. Some amazing things going on, as always, in the world, and I try to peek out one side of my eye. Sometimes I just try to get away and shut off the phone and ignore all that stuff, but a couple things really, really caught my eye this morning. First of all, let's go to the faith. Roger, is that the sissy Bible? You got the sissy Bible with you tonight?
I always got that sissy Bible.
Okay. So Roger's not used to sitting around a manly Bible. Are we coming through okay out there? Everybody hearing us? Anybody want to jump in here and say anything before we get rolling this morning? We've got a good crowd of 20 in the queue. We got room for about 10 more. If you've never joined, even though I know it's early in the morning, you've never really joined us before, this would be a good day to get in there. Pastor Tom asked me, he was trying to figure out where to get in. I said, listen, always no, there he is. I saw somebody else. I thought it was you. There's Don. Don's in this morning all the way from Wisconsin. Don, unmute yourself and say hi to everybody because you're not a regular guy in here. You now unmute it, Don? Probably don't. If you touch on your screen, there's a little microphone that'll pop up. You just got to tap on a little microphone. And it should make it so we can hear you. Looks like he's studying it, Roger. I don't think he has. No.
Or it was a rough night.
Not, whatever. He's an hour behind us. Can't get him in here. Glenn's up out in Dallas. Amazing. Morning, Glenn. Richard's up. He's clear up in New York someplace. Serge is in New York. Southern Melville. He's down in Branson area, I think. Pastor Payne. Dale Socia, Pastor Dale. Wow, what a crew we got. What a crew. I was thinking this morning about when I was going to do the Memorial Day. My wife said to me last night, or was it this morning? I can't remember. I talked to her a lot. I don't know about you guys. I talked to my wife a lot. You know, we really don't appreciate what those who came before us did. You talk about the greatest generation. I'm not going to make this soupy. I'm not going to do that on Memorial Day. But, you know, I'm watching what's going on around there, and I'm wondering what's happened to the courage of the American male in particular, the American Christian male. What's happened to him? And I don't know if you guys saw the movie, what was that one that they just did? Hacksaw Ridge. Was it the one up on when they climbed it? Yeah, that was it, Hacksaw Ridge. The sacrifices those guys made. You know, when we think back that they were 17, 18-year-old kids. In fact, a lot of guys, when the war broke out at 16 years old, went and lied and enlisted. Probably Tom Gilsdav is probably one of those guys that did that.
He was around the world twice.
Tom Gilsdav was around the world twice by the time he was 17. And you think about that sacrifice that all those guys made. Would we even be able to do that today? Could we give guys today to put down their cell phone long enough to go? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if they were in boot camp and somebody yelled at them? Imagine if they did that. So you look at the great liberty that we've given you. The Bible calls it licentiousness. We've confused licentiousness with liberty. Liberty, as Alan Keyes told me. Alan Keyes said, Coach, if you read the Declaration of Independence, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with the inalienable rights, and among them are life. I got it wrong. Hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, endowed by their creator, certain unalienable rights. And he stopped me right there, and he says, Coach, there's an inalienable right to do right. There is never an inalienable right to do wrong. You have no God-given right to do wrong. Now, we have laws put in place to try to restrict bad behavior, but to think that I have the right to my body, my choice, I can do whatever I want to, that is a lie. It's an inalienable right to do right. That's why we have laws. When you decide that you're going to do wrong, you pop up police officers and they arrest you for inalienable wrongs. So there is no right to do wrong, okay? When we look across the spectrum of America today, there is no right and wrong, right? There is no right. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation can long endure. We're met on a great battlefield in that war. Come to dedicate a portion of this war for those who here gave their lives that nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper. We should do so. Pretty amazing, isn't it, if you think about that? That those guys in the Civil War, it was cousins shooting cousins, sometimes brothers shooting brothers. What was it in the heart of a man that would make him go out there and lay down his life? And you think about Normandy when those guys stormed Normandy Beach. What was it in their hearts that would make them do that? When those boats, those amphibious boats dropped that deck, are you kidding me? I suppose there wasn't any place to hide, right? When they dropped that deck and those gunners are firing at you, I suppose it was get in the water or die. It's probably the way they thought about it. Can you imagine the rebellion that we would see today if we tried to make men do that? Now, guys like Jared, who served in the Marines, there are guys like Jared out there. There are a lot of guys out there. But don't forget this. Most of them were draftees. We drafted them. We made them go. Can you imagine them having a rat draft today? There'd be rebellion, wouldn't there? Are you kidding me? Trying to make you can't.
They'd be looking for the safe zone.
You can't even get them to stand up for the national anthem in the NFL. And so, ultimately, we're in the mess that we are in America, but not because we've lost our American heritage. We've lost our Christian heritage. It's from our Christian heritage But greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. That we're to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. That we're to occupy till he comes. By the way, they're in. Those of you who've been waiting on the Occupy CDs, they are in. They arrived on Saturday, going out in the mail today. Four CD disc set. Everybody's speeches are on there. So praise the Lord. My wife has been particularly nervous because we haven't, it's been like a month getting these things out. We had terrible technical issues. But they're going out today. Hey, I've got a few extras. $40. $40 will send one right out. Y'all let me know. No, I always tell you this. Got these other things too. Hey, keep the lights on, will you? Help us keep the lights on. Greater love is no man than this, and he would send in $20 to keep the lights on. So you know, as we look at it, see, one of the Psalm 78, Jared, let's go there real quickly. Psalm 78. I think one of the greatest mistakes that the greatest generation made, Pastor Tom's he's an exception. Did your dad serve?
Yeah, but not active.
My dad served, but not active. Tom served. Here's one of the worst things that ever happened to us. You think about after the Second World War, 1945, when that war finally ended and all those guys came home. Imagine these guys had been at war for 2 years or 3 years or whatever. They came home and they just wanted to have some fun and they just wanted to forget what they'd just been through. They came home and they made babies. They got jobs and the economy was booming. And all of a sudden, like happened to me, I got saved. When I got saved, our son Zach was about 8 years old. I didn't even know the Lord till then. And so by the time I figured it out, he's 16. Anybody get it, right? You get saved, then you learn what it means to be a Christian. Those are not the same thing, right? And so these guys came home from the war. Think about this, this timeline. The war ended in 1945. And immediately, America becomes under assault from the communist agenda. I got a lot of stuff I could show you on that. Everson versus the Board of Education was 1947, which is what they said that it was declared that there was a separation between the church and state. After we had just fought this war to turn back godless communism overseas, we come home and our own Supreme Court rules it is a separation between the church and state. That's 1947. Followed quickly then by 1961 when they said, okay, because there's a separation between the church and state, there's no prayer in school allowed anymore. Followed closely in 1963 with the idea of got to get that Bible reading out of there. Bible reading was banned in 1963. Tom Gill's father, I believe, I could be wrong, in 1945, 18 years later, Tom Gill's dad fought for the right to be able to have prayer in school. That's why he went to war. That's what it was all about, right? And so these guys come home and they do not do what Psalm 78 says. They didn't tell their kids their stories. They didn't tell them the war story. And because we didn't tell them the war stories, think about this, how the enemy works. Dads didn't come home and tell the war stories. And then in 1961, all of a sudden, we're in another stinking war, Vietnam. And tune in, turn on, drop out. All that stuff began in the 60s. The Beatles hit in 1964 and Jimi Hendrix and the Rolling Stones. And boom, we're off and running. And why? What happened? The generation gap is somewhere along the line. The generation gap was invented in that time. And the fathers lost contact with their sons because the fathers lost contact with the past. And the fathers lost contact with the past. They didn't share it with their sons. And so we wake up in 2018, and those hippies are grandparents. That's where we are. We're trying to figure out what happened. Psalm 78. Are you there, Jared? Psalm 78. Sorry, man. Roger's making me nervous sitting over here beside me. Psalm 78. I'm going to start in verse. Roger, can you read that? I'm going to let you. Hang on.
I quickly went to 78:3. I'll start in 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth.
Okay, give ear, my people, to what? My law. Now, we don't even talk about that anymore. There is no law. Lawlessness. Okay. Keep going, Roger. You're doing great.
2, I will open my mouth in the parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Verse 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told.
This,
You get what I'm saying there, Pastor Tom? Are you following what I'm putting down here? What? We have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. So think about all these guys who stormed Normandy Beach. Did they come home and tell their kids what that was about? I doubt if they did, because for a lot of them, they just wanted to bury it. They didn't want to remember it. And Thomas said his dad actually told him. And I remember as a young kid, they started the Memorial Day parades. And yeah. It was important because that generation was involved in them, right? Yeah,
I don't think we understand the sacrifice of those 17, 18-year-old boys. Could you imagine today in our high school drafting the 17 and 18-year-olds?
Oh, my goodness.
Or would they volunteer? And you're on a boat outside of the beaches in France. You know half of you are going to die when that little gate goes down. Now, I'm not talking boldly because I've served, because I have not. But, boy, we need to respect those men and women who have served and ultimately given the highest price.
Yeah, Jeremy.
It's exactly what you said. I had a conversation yesterday. I got a new roommate. He's 21. And we end up, you know, invariably talking about God and everything. And they're humanists down to their core. They have no hope. They have no lasting hope that they can build courage from. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. It's empty. It's empty ideology.
Even a young guy like you, Jared, we're still in Psalm 78. Even a young guy like you doesn't really understand the turbulent 60s and everything that went on. But it was a direct communist assault to undermine Christianity in America. We didn't understand it. We didn't really, really get what was going on. And then we were led into that horrible war. I remember Bill DeLauder, who was a friend of mine, talking about the Vietnam War. Bill DeLauder said that they would go one day in Vietnam, in the rice paddies of Vietnam, and they would go one day and they would take a hill. There would be a hill and they'd get the orders, we got to take that hill. And they would fight and guys would die and they'd get up there and they'd take that hill. And then when they get up in that hill, then they would get orders to move to the next hill. And they said there was no rhyme or reason to why these guys were over there dying. It wasn't that they didn't want to fight. It wasn't that they didn't die. Of course, they didn't want to die, but there was no rhyme or reason to it. And they came up with a term, Bill, I'll never forget, Bill's passed on, said they came up with a term, and the term was don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. Everything would happen. So I'd got his leg blown off. They said, don't mean nothing. Because it was just a meaningless do-nothing war. And it was during that time in the Vietnam War, the guys like me, I was part of the lottery, first draft lottery. Guys like me who, I don't know if I'd have gone. Why would you want to go fight in that war when there was no immediate reason to be fighting the war? And so we really lost it there. Remember now, this is the children of the greatest generation. We're in Psalm 78 here, okay? The hippies are the children of what they called the greatest generation. But they weren't the greatest generation because they did not transfer to their children their values. You want to say something, Tom? Come closely so we can hear you anyway. Just talk on this.
Talk on this.
Can we hear Tom? Try this. Oh, you got your headphones on. I probably mute. So go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking it really started when they came back from the war. What happened was the women went to the factories.
Yep.
They started teaching Sunday school. So when the men came back, the women then, they were self-sufficient.
Mm.
The men then laid down, and then you all of a sudden became this little thing called Playboy.
Mm.
And then you had James Bond, who could live fast, wild. He had all sorts of women and stuff, and he never, ever had consequences of his actions.
Right.
Now we start having the godlessness come in.
Playboy magazine.
Playboy magazines. But if you really look at that whole genre, that shift change, the family began to break down then.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're actually saying is what they said where with Joshua, it says they knew the first children of Israel knew God. They knew of God, and then that next generation, that third one, where we're at fairly close,
they knew
not of God.
We'll show you that here in a second. That's very good, Tom. Don't let me forget that. I want one of them to be able to see that, okay? So here it is, trying to get back through this scripture. The children of the greatest generation had no idea what the greatest generation had done. They had no idea. And then immediately, those children are thrust into Vietnam, and we get all those horrors of Walter Cronkite and all that stuff going on in Vietnam. And patriotism was lost somewhere along the way. So we're in verse 4. Roger, I'm not used to these glasses. They're falling off of me. Got to get the new one. Okay, so go to verse 5, Roger.
Verse,
hang on. I'm sorry. Do verse 4 again.
Or do 4. We will not hide them from their children, shewing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done.
Understand, because they had done something great, they credited the Lord. We're not going to hide them from their children, but we're going to show the generation to come the praises of the Lord, what the Lord hath done through us. They're talking about the Lord's strength and the Lord's wonderful works that he did through the individual man. Verse 5.
For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children.
It's a command. Make it known to your children. Sit down and have fireside chats. Sit around the campfire and talk about the exploits that you did in war. And they didn't do that. They didn't do, we didn't do that. You know, I can remember going to the Memorial Day parades and the guys would be out there and they'd be holding the guns and everything. But I didn't really know what it was. That was the 1960s. That was just 15 years after the war. So we think, what is 2018? Remember 2003? That wasn't that long ago, right? But we didn't transfer those over. Okay. So they established a testimony that they would declare it to, they would arise and declare it to their children. Why, Roger? Verse seven,
that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
Unbelievable, huh? Huh? Wow. But Roger, it may not be like their father. Roger's taking notes. Verse 8.
It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart all aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle.
We're there again, folks. We are there again. The men of Ephraim, we are armed. You say, what do you mean armed? Well, so you can look at it as spiritual weapons, or you can look at it as physical weapons. We certainly have all kinds of arms, but our arms are not going to be what's going to protect us. It's going to be something inside of our hearts that's going to protect us, right? So the children of Ephraim, being armed with the word, with the scripture, with the law of God, carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. In other words, they didn't go to war over. We didn't go, right now today, we are not going for war over the culture. Why didn't we go back? Well, they kept not the covenant of God, and they refused to walk in his law. Right here it is, right? They refused to walk in his law. And so what happened then? The heritage was lost. It was lost. Now, Pastor Tom was talking about Joshua. I think it's Joshua. Let me go there, Jared. Let me dig it. He popped it up on me real quickly. Joshua 1. Now, let's see. Where would that boy? He caught me. You remember where that is? There it is. No. In other words, no. I think it's. I'm looking. I used to talk about that reference all the time. Roger, you ever notice how many times Hebron's mentioned in the Bible?
Where you live?
Yeah. Mentioned in the Bible. David at Hebron, actually.
Got a
biblical. Yeah, I do. So here's the point that Pastor Tom was making. If I'd been prepared, I'd have it. I've been too far ahead. See, Joshua knew the Lord. Talks about Joshua who knew the Lord. And it talks about the children of Joshua who knew of the Lord. Those aren't the same, are they?
No, they're not.
They knew the Lord. Joshua knew the Lord. His children had heard about him. They'd heard the stories, but it says, I'll find it when we're done here. His grandchildren, Joshua's children's children, knew not the Lord. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Two generations that's gone. Look around you today. Look what's going on over in England. I'm going to show you some stuff here in a second. So we've lost, we in the church, hey, folks, are we going to go? Is Christianity in America just going to go out with a whimper? Is that really what it is? There's not going to be some big cataclysmic clash at the end of this thing? We're just going to fade away, and let the rapture come. And I don't see it that way. That's not the way I get it. Right? Occupy till I come. Earnestly contend for the faith. He endures till the end. Shall be safe. So there's an end. I don't know, man. I don't know. Somebody come on in here.
Dave, I'll come in real quick as other men may, but I just I always go back to the simpleness of John the Baptist, where he talks about take by force.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds harsh. That sounds radical. But, you know, Jesus said there was no one greater than John the Baptist. So maybe we ought to listen to the guy. But it's the idea of there's a fight out there. It doesn't mean we have to go radical and crazy, but my goodness, to sit back and just do nothing, you can't find that in the scripture.
Well, what does it mean to go radical anyway? What is that? I think to lay over and let them have you is pretty radical. What I say.
Yeah, I agree.
That's not our heritage, right? Hey, I just found it, Tom. I just found it, Joshua 24. I think so.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, I was listening to Gerald Celente yesterday, and he's a top forecaster, and he basically said that the American culture, the problem is the lack of courage. And you know, if you want to see it firsthand, which I know many guys in the queue are very active doing different things, but again, we went yesterday to promote a very righteous man, Dan Fisher, who wants to abolish abortion. We went around to multiple churches, and it's amazing how many of these hireling pastors, when you say, you know what, we have a guy here that's going to end abortion, he's going to put an end to it and bring righteousness, they'll come up with the wimpiest excuses why they can't allow exposed to that. And I thought, you know what, Coach, it's a lack of courage, plain and simple. No matter how you look at it, it comes down to that.
But let's ask this question here. I just saw I got something on here on my screen over here. Listen, if you want to say something, you got to come in here. It's the way this thing works. We're about halfway through it here. Roger's getting up. I got to go to the bathroom already, drinking all that coffee he brought with me. I wrote on my notes this morning. Thanks, Jared. Keep that right there a second. Community standards. I was thinking about Facebook and their community standards. I was thinking about YouTube and their community standards. I was thinking about public schools and their community standards. Well, whose standards? What's the community? Who determines what the community standards are? See, we have so rolled over. The community standards were what we just read about in Psalm 78, those standards that we were supposed to pass on to our children, and we didn't pass on to our children. By the way, Joshua 24, just so that you guys can see it. Verse 15, Jared, can you get there for me real quick? I'm going to run this through you really, really quick. Verse 14. Now, therefore, oops, up a little bit, Jared. There you go. Roger, can you do that?
I think I can. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord.
Serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then do what, Roger?
Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as far as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Right. So he knew the Lord. And so he said, we're going to train our children. We're going to raise. You going to say something, Tom?
Just saying, Judges 2 talks about God. All that generation did not have their fathers. Another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, mm-hmm. nor the work which he had done for Israel.
That's right.
Says the Judges.
Yeah, I think so too. Well,
hey, Coach.
Yes, yes.
Let me propose a question. Would we even be in all these ungodly wars that the globalists and New World Order are perpetuating if we as a people were truly serving the Lord? Would God not protect us in another way where we didn't have to go to all these continual wars that we're not really winning nowadays?
Not designed to win. Not designed to win, actually. Go, Rod.
Oh, I was just going to say, man, just pause for a minute. How wonderful it is. I mean, think we're just sitting here reading scripture on Monday morning, Memorial Day. And wouldn't you like to do this every Sunday at your church someplace? It's just so good to crack open God's word for a guy like me, lay guy, crack it open, have some guys smarter than me around and digging into his word. And I don't mean that in an arrogant or egotistical manner, like I know it all. I just love doing it. I love that aspect of the hub.
There's nothing as contagious as faith. Somebody come on in here. I hear somebody trying to knock on the door.
I would like to field an answer to the question. I think it was George that just asked about, would we even be in these situations if we were really serving the Lord? And I think the answer to that is unequivocally, no, we wouldn't be, because if we were trained from young, you know, from our youth to pray for God's will to be accomplished, not only for his will to happen, but for his will to guide our lives. If we would learn to pray that way, then when it came time to join the army or be drafted or whatever else the society may try to put on you, then we would individually know what our reaction or what our actions would be to either comply or not comply. It boils down to individual obedience to God's leading in your life. And unless you learn to seek his leading, you will never follow it.
That's right. And so what we've done is we've removed the law of God as the ultimate law, and we teach our children licentiousness. Whatever, you know, whatever you think is right, whatever. You know, who am I to judge that? All of that thing, right? Excuse me. So that's the battle we're fighting. I want you to think right now. In your own family, your kids sharing your values? Those of us who are dads, your kids sharing your values? Boy, depending on how many you get, you know, I guess the odds are against you. But I would think that everybody in here has or will have a prodigal, I think. I don't speak that damnation on anybody. Why has it happened? What is going on? Can you name for me one time you ever saw your dad make a moral stand? Can you ever, publicly, Roger, dad make a moral stand?
Out of respect for my father, I'll say yes. Because he's still living, but no, I didn't see it enough.
Yeah, and Tom said he did. He saw his dad make moral stands. See, not public stands against certain things, but absolutely reach a point where you said that's right and that's wrong, and we're not going to put up with it. That almost doesn't exist anywhere anymore.
And I think Dave, just to play off of that too, as parents, we send them off to places too early, thinking they're well grounded and they can handle it, and they can't, you know. And I think Tom and I have a mutual friend whose son went off to liberal school and went there as a Bible believer, and now is, you know, moving in the other direction. And you cannot tell me that's not because 24/7 he's in a cultural environment that denounces our faith, and that's going to happen. I don't care how strong you are at times, especially at a young age. We send them into the public schools, send them into the liberal colleges, and we think they're ready for it. Many times they're not.
And we make no moral stand against it.
Or yank them home and get them back home.
So let me circle back a minute. Let's camp here a second. Come on. What are community standards? Hey, Bobby Lee, you're out there dealing with a mess in our society. Bobby, what are community standards now? You in Pennsylvania, Bobby?
Yes, I am. I'm in Northeast PA.
Bobby, what are the community standards there in Northeast PA, Northwest PA?
There are none. I mean, it's pretty much the same all nationwide in every school. The social engineering, these kids are allowed to do and encourage. Listen, you can walk into any school and you'll see homosexual flags everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a community standard, huh, Bobby? Accepting that has now become a community standard.
Yeah, I want to go back to that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, on.
I want to go back to the college thing. Listen, everybody's not supposed to be going to college. These colleges are cesspits of social behavior. We were designed. I've had a theory for a long time, even before I was doing this job 15 years ago, that it's required for us to have a certain amount of pain. My brother was telling me the other day that now they're having extreme races to where people are literally doing these long endurance races across three deserts or running through the jungles. And my first response, my immediate response was, well, we as humans, we're supposed to have a certain level of pain. We're supposed to be working. I know you're a coach. I grew up playing sports. Most of us probably did at given times. But the point is, this is the first time in human history to where there's nothing expected of kids. Kids right. are behaving in ways never before seen in human history. They go to these colleges to where they immediately have sex with everybody, and it's just one big house party. And then at the end of it, you get a useless degree with no skills. And it's, I think college is remarkable at destroying people's lives. And those people that choose to wake up, it will take years to decades to figure out and redevelop. Now, all of that said, we're supposed to be working, be it a corner market in the cities, if you're younger, if you're a young kid, or we're supposed to be in the fields working. I'll try yesterday, Saturday. I'm doing therapy only on Saturdays now. And I'm looking across the table at a 14-year-old, and I said, I wish to God. Listen, I am 48 years old. I grew up in Eastern Kentucky. We, Generation X, we're the last generation that knows what it's like to work in the tobacco fields of Kentucky. All right. So I remember what it was like working in 95-degree heat, pulling plants or hanging backer. And I look at the 14-year-old and I said, I wish to God you could understand what it's like to work 10 hours a day out in the field in 95-degree August heat. And because you're so entitled to where you think that if you got to get what you want right now, and if you don't get it, you're going to flip off your mommy with food in your hand and still demand more shit.
Hey, Bobby, just as badly as that. Hang on a minute. Just as badly as that, kid graduates from college and automatically wants to own a $180,000 home. I mean, it's it's crazy. Somebody trying to get in here. Come on, man.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Happy Memorial Day.
Hey, Vince. Everybody. Morning.
God bless us all. Hey, listen, Coach, you just tied something really, really profound together for me. Let me, Bobby Lee, you are right. I want to go one up on you, brother. Our whole lives should be college experience. I think that the colleges, you know, you put the air quotes up. They've monopolized what life is all about. You can't put credits on that on real life. That's right. But that's what it's all about. All our life experience should be college credits, to be honest. So, but let me get back to my point. But I wanted to say that, Bobby, because listen, it's a bunch of nonsense. You know, a guy who does accounting in a building gets credit, but the guys who make the building don't get credit. It's a bunch of nonsense, right? Okay. Yes. All right. So the Vietnam War, I've never been able to piece it together because it never made sense. But, Coach, you did it this morning, and this is how. 1913, Woodrow Wilson betrays America and brings on the Fed. 1929, we get the crash. 1934, FDR rips off America and steals our gold from us. Mm. In 1940s, we get World War II. Now, World War II is what you put together for me. They got women out of the home and into the workplace, right? So now women are not taking care of the children. Not only they're not taking care of the children, which feeds the children to cultural Marxism, then they're not associating with their husbands' wives and all saying together, hey, they took our gold and now they're taking us out of the home into the workplace. What kind of nonsense is going on? If we had our wives thinking about that instead of having to go to work and leaving our children to this nonsense, and this is the nonsense that Dave McGowan, our dearly departed Dave McGowan, was talking about Laurel Canyon and the subversive music that you got into. Here we go. So now we got the Vietnam War. And now we got the, you know, soldiers coming home, not talking to their kids, and not telling them about the horrors of war, and then here we go. So, Coach, they're tied together. I mean, now what do we do from here?
Yeah, it's a tag team handoff. So what we have to do from here, and, you know, I got something I wanted to play. I don't know if you guys have – maybe I won't play it, but have you guys followed the story of the guy over in the U.K. who has been arrested for simply doing reporting? It's called – Tommy Robinson. Hey, Jared, can you pull that up there? Because here's, guys, listen. You shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall set you free. And Pastor Tom, what does it say? How shall they hear the truth unless there be a preacher? Isn't that what it says? And how does it preach unless it be sent? Right? And so what they're trying to do, what's going on, it's not just here in the good. See, we're about 10 years behind, really. Europe is basically lost. We're still hanging in there by the skin of our teeth. But we're now beginning to see censoring come down into the good old US of A, where you're not even allowed to talk about the truth. We're going to find here Tommy Robinson being arrested for simply reporting the truth. Just reporting the truth. Coming to America, coming to a country near you. So I want you to see this. It's about a 2-minute clip of Tommy Robinson being arrested. You know what he was arrested for? You know what he was reporting on, Roger?
Pedophiles, I think.
Yeah,
he was doing
some research on pedophilia and what's going on in the UK in regards to pedophilia. And they arrested him. Are you ready for this? They arrested him for disturbing the peace or something along that line. And did you know that he was tried and put in jail in 6 hours? 6 hours, huh? Got shut his mouth. So here's the picture of Tommy Robinson being arrested in the UK. Say, Coach, that's in the UK. Coming to a city near you, okay? Go ahead, Jared.
Almost 10,000 people. This is the verdict. So the trial's ended. The jury are making their mind up. And this is the verdict. This is the verdict today. Play that. So I can see someone. Yeah, mate, yeah. Yeah. You doing all right?
He's being arrested.
What's going on here?
Pedophile. Yeah, 29 of them on trial. It's two women.
Yeah, for grooming, innit?
For grooming 11-year-olds.
Look, yeah.
Allegedly.
Grooming. Still doing ADL thing.
Nah. Left, yeah. Just doing a media, mate. Just trying to show people who are watching.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. This is what the case is. This is how many girls were victims. This is what they've said, and this is what they've done. Yeah, mate.
Not fucking hanging. That's all I can. I'm swearing.
No,
I'm
not.
Fucking.
Oh, they do in prison. I know. You've been in there.
Just got out.
You just got out. What was it like?
Shit.
This is boring. I'm too quick. 2 minutes with
you. Are you going to arrest me?
Michael is going to explain what's going to happen next, right?
Am I being arrested?
You are being arrested.
I am being arrested.
Causing a breach of peace.
I'm being arrested for breach of peace.
Of what you're,
can we just say
streaming?
The content of what I'm streaming, I'm being arrested for breach of the peace. I'm being arrested for breach of the peace. You've all watched this. You've all watched this. Can you get me a solicitor? Can you get me a solicitor?
Can you just turn off your live feed?
Can you get me a solicitor?
Turn off your live feed, please.
Yeah?
Do you understand what I just said?
No, can you explain it again?
You're under arrest on suspicion causing a breach of the peace.
What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean?
What does that mean?
The content of what I'm streaming, I'm being arrested for breach of the peace.
Are you arresting him?
Been arrested for breach of peace. You've all watched this.
Can you just turn off your live feed, please? What does that mean? Did these mind-numb cops that just arrested me? They don't know what. Somebody told them to.
That's the information I've got.
I'm inciting people. How have I incited people? This is free speech. This is where we're at. You're not even allowed to. Look at this.
Look how many people.
Man, what are you trying to hide? Do you know when you do this? More people.
Just let them deal this.
More people are going to watch this now than ever. This is ridiculous, lads. Do you feel right what you're doing it? I haven't said a word. In fact, someone laid their hand and assaulted me outside court.
Yeah,
other people swore at me and threatened me about my mother, and here I am being arrested for saying nothing.
Yeah,
I'm threatened
anything,
to behead
I've done
nothing. Nothing.
Said
anything
That's about always
done. What are you arresting me for, Tommy?
Breach of the peace. Apparently I'm inciting on my video. Can you please, George, get me a solicitor?
Yeah,
because I'm on a suspended sentence, you see.
He has actually done nothing wrong.
Consult anything like that.
Coming to America, Jared. Get a Hebrews 11 up there if you can. Folks, I was having this conversation yesterday. Sit down a minute and think, okay? Will you sit and think here for me for a minute? I was having this conversation about Obama's birth certificate, which, by the way, at the end, all roads are leading to the birth certificate. Okay, just trust me. But I said, hey, do you believe in 911? I said, do you believe that story they told you on 911? Well, kind of him and Hollis. Well, wait a minute, let's go back. You believe Oswald killed Kennedy? Well, no, let into another one, let into another one. Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma City, yada, yada. I said, you believe that stuff? He said, no, man. I said, you're a conspiracy theorist. Why are you believing that kind of stuff, man? There's no way. They've proven. I said, well, who's proven? Who's proven? No. I said, well, hey, you ever heard of the deep state? Who's Trump fighting right now? They say Trump's fighting the deep state. Could the deep state, could they have done Kennedy? Could they have done Waco? Could they have done Oklahoma City? The deep state, the same guys, the same people that are going on. I said, wake up, man. Wake up, right? And because we are under the assumption, like somebody said, Roger, I love my country, but I hate my government, right? We're there. We're seeing it. Who is deciding community values and who is deciding free speech? Who gets to make that decision? Tommy was arrested and sentenced to 13 months in jail in 6 hours. I guess that's a speedy trial, right? Speedy trial. So if we would understand, as I try to, one of the points we try to make on the show all the time, there's only two teams, fellas. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. That is it. And if you are not on the Lord's team, you will end up on the devil's team. Well, wait a minute. You're already on the devil's team. But you're not sure you're going to serve. Because unless you're sold out from the Lord, when they come knocking on your door, you're going to capitulate. And you're going to do everything that they've asked you to do, or they're going to throw you in jail, and then you'll have to have a lawyer. And so most people say, well, I'll just go along to get along, and hopefully there'll be a rapture soon, and then we can forget all this stuff. And so that's how you get guys like Tommy Robinson being arrested for simply speaking the truth.
Dave, you're being so hard. My goodness. Matthew 10, Jesus said, come on now. He said, I didn't come to unify.
Yeah.
Came with a sword.
Yeah.
Came with a sword. What do you do with the sword?
Well, that's the Bible, Roger. It was figurative.
Hey, Coach.
Dale, how you doing, Dale?
Hey, brother. Just traveling down the road with my family, heading to Tennessee, with a box full of air assault rifles that will be out in the woods having airsoft wars and teaching my children how to battle and doing some mountain climbing. You know that kind of stuff. But
learn how to be a man. I kind of was studying to be a man.
Yeah, that's and not only that, my daughter too. She's like, Dad, I'm playing. I said,
Dale, did I lose you? Did I yell you off?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Anyway, so what I want to share is that one foot in the world and 1 foot in the church equals 2 feet in hell. And my sermon yesterday was out of Mark chapter 5 with the demonic looking at Jesus and said, have thou come to torment me before thy time? I want to tell you something. I don't know what in hell the church likes, because the devil themselves, they don't want nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? Have you come to torment us before our time? They don't want to go there. What in hell do we want? Why would we want to be on that team?
Wow, that's a great question, huh? We're looking at the fluffy painted facade of it, thinking that'd be a good place to go, right? Feed that flesh, not thinking there's anything worth fighting for. What you do doesn't affect.
Joel Osteen's book is prophetic, Your Best Life Now. Because if your best life is now, hell awaits you. If your best life is now, hell awaits you.
Amen, brother.
You violated the community standards. Well, what are they? Well, it's right here, written in this code. Well, who wrote that? Well, they wrote that. Well, who are they? Well, that's where we are, right? Where we are. So I guess here on Memorial Day, I feel very important to be in Hebrews 11. They call it the Faith Hall of Fame. And I'm going to try to read this really quickly because I think it's important that we understand. Wait. You read it to your roommate. Oh. Now, Faith. Right now. Right now, Faith. Right? Yeah. Now, Faith.
Pistos.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. In other words, our elders, there they are, the fathers again, came and told us about it. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And by faith, Abel offered up to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he became, being dead, yet speaketh. And by faith, Enoch, by the way, book of Enoch, Enoch was so righteous that he walked with God and then he was gone. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of those who diligent in seeking. Okay, come on. We're going to get it. It's Faith Hall of Fame. Okay. They're going to show us. Hey, Mark Trump. I don't think Mark's there. It's data. Hey, boys, here's some data. Here's some stories. Here's some instances. Here's some history. All right? There's data here. Go back and study the data. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go. By verse 9, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Verse 10, where he looked for a city which so whose foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He rejected the natural and he began to look to the spiritual. Through faith, Sarah, see, there she is. Verse 12, these all died in faith, not having received their promises, but having seen them afar off, they are all persuaded of them, and they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say as such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, they had been mindful of that country from which they had come out. They may not have had the opportunity of return. But by faith, let's go to 17. But by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up his son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Counting to God, was able to raise him up even from the dead. Once also he received him. I'm heading somewhere. Stay with me. Here we go now. Data. Here comes some data. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob. There's some data. Here's some history. When he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph did something. When he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he did something. Verse 25. For Moses again. By faith, Moses to suffer affliction with the people of God. I'm sorry. By faith, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing to suffer affliction, esteeming reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt. 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, 30, the walls of Jericho fell down. 31, by faith, they received a harlot, Rahab, perished not. Verse 29, but look now. And watch out, what more can I say, Roger? Well, I don't have time to even talk about Gideon or Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Data, Samson, prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness. This is data, man. This is storming Normandy Beach. They did it over and over and over for the faith. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens.
Taken by force.
Turned to flight the armies of the alien. Women received their dead raised again. Others were tortured, not accepted deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourging. Moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sewn asunder and half. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, didn't get anything for it. They received not the promise. Why? Because God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us.
They didn't read their best left memory. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. Folks, the tag team, the handoff, man. It's a marathon relay
Coach.
Race.
Coach, if you insert words mean something, in a synopsis of faith, it begins with the Greek. It is the moral conviction and action. That's what stormed Normandy Beach. It was moral conviction that caused Noah to build that ark. It was a moral conviction in this holy God that caused David to do what he did. It was moral conviction that caused Abraham to offer his son Isaac up, and they took action. That is the faith. And without, verse 6, without moral conviction in action, it's impossible to please God.
Gone, guy, gone. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, you know, that data begins with verse 1. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Faith is not some willy-nilly power floating out there in the ether somewhere that might affect something. Faith is substance and evidence. It's like Dale just said, it's taking moral action. Doing
so what's happened?
If you're not doing nothing, you ain't got no faith.
So here's the truth, see. We've transferred that faith of action, or as Dale so aptly said, moral conviction, right? We look out on culture and society. We look at our lineage, our Christian lineage, which we just read in the Faith Hall of Fame there. People who did things, and they're not even worthy to be mentioned. We don't even know who their names are. Why is everybody always picking on me, right? Through moral courage, they stood up and they did the right thing. And look where we are today. What is it? What is our faith about? Our faith is about being raptured out of here. Our faith is about getting more stuff. Our faith is about not having any promises. Listen, these guys were surrounded, man. This was Normandy Beach before there was a Normandy Beach. And they fought their way. This is our Christian DNA, our Christian heritage. This is who we are.
Unbelievable.
Look at the battles we've lost. Look at the battles we have lost. When is the last moral fight that the United States of America engaged in?
Well, Coach, we can't stand up and fight if we don't have a moral conviction, because people.
Hey, Dale, community standards. Community standards means do whatever you want to do. Don't judge anybody.
I got to go to Costa Rica.
Go to Costa Rica. They sitting around praying for the rapture, you think? They're sitting around waiting to get out of here, or are they fighting like hell for those coming behind them? What has happened to us? See, we don't think really that there are many coming behind us. We don't really think that. Had a conversation with a guy a couple weeks ago, says, asking about his grandbabies. He says, oh, I don't want any grandbabies. Why would you bring a child into this world? Huh? Huh? Why would you bring a child into this world? To contend, to fight, to be an arrow. That's why you'd bring him into this world. Oh, my goodness, we have lost our way. Well, thank God for Memorial Day. Thank God for Pastor Payne coming in, Roger being part of us. And faith without works. Paul said, show me your faith, not share it. Show me your faith. Faith without corresponding action ain't faith at all. God bless you. Have a good day off. We'll see you tomorrow.